more people in line.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The number of people last week who for the first time filed for jobless benefits climbed to more than 640,000, and continuing claims hit yet another record high, 6.1 million. So, where's Wall Street? Dow is up about 15 points, about 0.2%. NASDAQ up about 0.25%. S&P 500 shares up about 0.5% at this hour. European shares are mixed, and Asian markets closed up 1 to 2% today. Okay, Bill Stone, Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Wealth Management, is joining us live now from Philadelphia. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. Do you think Wall Street has become numb to these jobless numbers?
Well, in one sense, yes, in that they came in pretty much right as expected. So typically when we get an as expected or, you know, we've off and on, we've gotten a little bit better than expected, yes, the market has shrugged them off. I think it's worth keeping in context that they're certainly bad numbers for Main Street, but you definitely have times when Main Street and Wall Street diverge.
Let's talk some earnings this morning. We're hearing some positive stuff in the mix this morning. Hershey's profits up 20%. Late yesterday, we got word from Apple that robust iPhone sales helped them. Profits up there. What do you read into all of that?
Well, I think you know you can also throw eBay into the mix. You know, I think I read a little bit into it in the sense that expectations have gotten so low that that gave a lot of these companies the opportunity to come in ahead. And that's a good thing. And that's why I think you're seeing at least some days, although, you know, very volatile trading on certain days, but at least we're able to, so far so good, kind of hold in and kind of grind higher.
And quickly, UPS with a disappointing report this morning, Royal Caribbean too. What are you reading into those numbers?
Well, you can definitely see a little bit of the differential, though, still in the some of the companies that are much more cyclical in nature. You know, some technology might be considered cyclical, but it's a little less, I think, so than you get to like a UPS.
All right. Bill Stone, Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Wealth Management over in Philadelphia. Bill, thanks.
Thanks.
We appreciate it. The World Bank today said it would provide $45 billion over 3 years to bolster infrastructure in poor nations. That's ahead of discussions about the fallout slated through the weekend among world financial ministers in Washington. The International Monetary Fund and World Bank also have their spring discussions starting Saturday. Listening to The Morning Report on Thursday, April 23rd, 2009 at marketplace.org. Bank executives meet with President Obama at the White House today to talk about credit cards. The credit card industry has taken a lot of heat for raising interest rates and other practices consumer advocates call abusive. More now from Tamara Keith.
There's a pretty good chance credit card executives are going to leave the meeting feeling like they just spent some time in the principal's office. White House officials say escalating interest rates and deceptive practices are on the agenda. Rebecca Borne is at the Center for Responsible Lending.
Based on what President Obama has said previously, you know, we have every reason to think that he'll be on consumer side on this issue.
President Obama supported credit card reform in his campaign.
Well, we're looking forward to a constructive dialogue.
Nessa Fettis is vice president of the American Bankers Association. She's been tracking the credit card holders' Bill of Rights, approved by the House Financial Services Committee yesterday. Fettis says banks are concerned.
We want to work with Congress and the administration, but it's important if they're going to make adjustments that they keep a balance.
Credit card companies say they're taking such a hit on consumer credit defaults, they have to make up for it somewhere else. Fettis says too much of a crackdown on the industry could limit credit availability. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
The number of people unemployed for more than 6 months has almost doubled since the start of the recession. And that long-term joblessness has sparked a new trend. Many people who can't find work are volunteering as a way to fill the time and to reinvent themselves. From Los Angeles, Lisa Napoli has more.
1,500 people have jammed this ballroom on the campus of UCLA for a nonprofit career fair. Ryan Tong of the Asian American Drug Abuse Program says more people than ever want to do work that comes not just with a paycheck, but with psychic rewards.
As you can see here, there's a lot of professionals that are interested in doing something that's good for people and then also getting paid for that.
Much of what's being offered here today, though, won't pay the bills.
Right now we don't have any full-time positions, but things might open up or internships might lead to something more full-time.
Today we're looking for volunteers and interns, but should people have their resume with them, we're more than willing to take it on for future opportunities.
80 nonprofits are recruiting for volunteers at this fair, and they say they're having an easy time filling the slots. And it's not just recent college graduates who will work for free. Many of the people who've come here today have long resumes. This unemployed former airline worker says he's been donating his time to several agencies since losing his job. He's got several reasons.
To keep busy and to learn some things and make some connections and hopefully do some good for the world.
Helping people figure out how to do good and ultimately earn a living is the mission of idealist.org. The job search site organizes these nonprofit career fairs in cities across the country. Idealist's Stephen Joyner says experienced professionals are accepting that big buck jobs are drying up. Others, he says, simply want to make a career out of social service work. He says working for free can be a good way in.
So I'll tell people, you know, never volunteer just to try to get a job. But if you're volunteering to be involved in the nonprofit sector, never volunteer without having to be some sort of professional development step.
With so many experienced people looking for jobs, even being strategic in your volunteer work can be a challenge. Nonprofits everywhere say they've been overwhelmed by the number of people who are raising their hands to work for free. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
We got a quarterly report from CME this morning, as in Chicago Mercantile, the Merc as it's affectionately known. The world's largest derivatives exchange reported lower first quarter profit. Shares are trading for less than half of what they were a year ago. And that means the fallout's doing a number on another side of the financial industry. From Chicago Public Radio, Adrian Hill reports.
CME Group is the massive exchange made up of the Chicago Board of Trade, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and NYMEX. It facilitates futures and options trading, everything from gold to interest rates to pork bellies. Trading volume is the name of the game. Michael Wong is an analyst with Morningstar.
Unlike the investment banks, where they may make money by taking the other side of transactions, CME Group just matches buyers and sellers together.
And that matchmaking has been slipping recently. The trading volume so far this year is much lower than the beginning of 2008, causing analysts like Mark Lane from William Blair & Company to raise a red flag and downgrade the stock's rating.
The key driver in getting volume growth going and getting the company growing once again is a stabilization in credit markets and an increase in risk tolerance.
Lane says he thinks the future of the company is promising, but the near term, he says, will be tough. From Chicago, I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
World markets are getting a little relief this morning after an earnings report from Credit Suisse. The bank says its profits for the first quarter are double what analysts had expected. Christopher Worth has more.
Credit Suisse CEO Brady Dugan said the bank is in a position to weather the storms. Switzerland's second largest bank posted earnings of $1.7 billion, beating all expectations. Much of that is thanks to its investment banking and wealth management units, which have outperformed other divisions. But David Page of Investec says there are other reasons the bank has done so well.
Basically, it's that they're not writing down assets anymore. Now, the question is whether or not that means that asset write-downs have bottomed.
The bank had nearly $2 billion in write-downs last year. The results from Credit Suisse today contrast with a forecast for a big loss for its Swiss rival, UBS. Underscoring continuing challenges ahead, yesterday the International Monetary Fund said the world economy would fall by 1.3% this year. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
This morning, a House subcommittee is taking up a bill that its opponents say would turn a gerbil into contraband. Needless to say, the proposal is ruffling a few feathers. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
200 million foreign animals are brought into the U.S. each year, say animal welfare advocates, and with little oversight. The House bill would change all that. It would create a list of approved species. Animals not on the list couldn't enter the country.
Basically, this is a criminal statute which will say these animals are guilty until proven innocent.
That's Marshall Myers, head of the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council. He says the bill could outlaw familiar pets such as gerbils, hamsters, parakeets, plus many exotic reptiles and fish. Defenders say the regulation is aimed at non-native, disease-carrying, invasive wildlife, not at common pets. Peter Jenkins is with the Defenders of Wildlife. He says the $40 billion a year pet industry is using scare tactics to kill the bill.
They have a financial interest in having an unregulated import trade in all sorts of bizarre snakes and reptiles and what have you.
Today's hearing is getting a lot of attention. One in three Americans own exotic pets. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
New York Attorney General's office is set to release today its testimony from Bank of America Chief Ken Lewis. The transcript will go to federal regulators and officials in charge of bailout money. The Wall Street Journal reports this morning that testimony indicates Lewis was told to stay quiet about losses facing Merrill Lynch before B of A acquired it. The latest from New York, and Ashley Milne-Tite.
Normally, a company is obliged to let shareholders know a prospective acquisition is in financial trouble. Armed with that knowledge, shareholders can vote to scrap a deal. But Ken Lewis apparently felt Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke and former Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson wanted him to keep quiet about Merrill Lynch's financial problems. Duke University law professor Jim Cox says it doesn't matter what the government wanted. As CEO, Lewis's first obligation was to his shareholders. Many of them were furious when they found out the extent of Merrill Lynch's losses at the end of last year.
I think that the shareholders will rightly be concerned, would like to have his scalp, quite frankly. And I think there's a very good chance that not only will suits be brought, but that I think these suits have tremendous legs to themselves and are likely to be successful under both state law and federal law.
Cox says it's not certain Lewis could be removed for staying mum, but he says the calls for his resignation will probably get louder. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
French history is rife with protests and strikes. People just love taking to the streets of Paris. But in the last few months, workers there who face layoffs have started taking things even farther. Enter a newer, more radical French labor movement. Anita Elash reports.
A taxi!
One of France's richest men, François-Henri Pinault, held hostage in a taxi by workers upset at plans to close stores and lay people off at Fnac, Pinault's chain of culture and electronics stores. Eric Maclou, who's been at Fnac for nearly 30 years, said it was a last resort for employees who felt no one was listening to them.
We wanted him to see how real people see things, to say, there are real people in the stores you own. They have faces and voices, and they are our faces and voices.
Pinault is just one of the bosses who's been trapped in close quarters with angry employees. In the last couple of months, there have been boss nappings at companies like 3M, Sony, and Caterpillar. Some factories have been occupied for weeks. Bernard Vivier, director of the Paris-based Higher Institute of Work, says relations between unions and companies have always been tough in France. He says labor relations are marked by confrontation, barricades, and mistrust. In France, you go on strike first, and then you negotiate. Boss nappings were common in the 1970s when unions were pushing for more rights. Labor expert John Evans says workers have returned to those extreme measures because they have far fewer options in the depressed French labor market than they might have, say, in the U.S.
There are no alternative jobs. So there's not the option either of finding jobs locally or, indeed, when this is happening on a national scale, saying, OK, we'll move to the equivalent of California.
French President Nicolas Sarkozy has said the government will start punishing boss napping and other illegal protests. But in the meantime, it looks like radical measures are succeeding. Most workers have successfully negotiated better severance packages after letting their bosses go. In Paris, I'm Anita Elash for Marketplace.
Let's check Wall Street one more time. The Dow has swung now lower, 0.3%, down 24 points. And NASDAQ down as well, about 0.25%. S&P 500 shares still up at this hour. The latest at our website, marketplace.org. in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.